This is DJ Durkin.
This is Mark Turk.
This is Gary Williams.
This is Johnny Holiday.
This is Walt Williams.
This is Scott Van Pelt.
This is Chris Nagy.
This is Stephon Diggs.
Dwayne Stephon.
Scott McBride.
Taj Holden.
Nemo Midbar.
Dustin Clark.
Brenda Freeze.
DJ Brown.
Dave Reps.
Jalen Brayley.
Lonnie Baxter.
Anthony Cowan.
Tim Strachan.
Kevin Herter.
Mello Trimble.
Dez Wells.
Doug Gottlieb.
Cliff Warren.
AJ Francis.
Patrick Stevens.
You're listening to IMS Radio.
We all share the same affliction, the same passion. This diseased brain that we share, our common ground is this problem, this affinity for turfdom.
I said I was trying to create a monster team that has a chance to play in a Final Four and win a national championship every year.
Be accountable to the guy next to you. Be accountable. That's what it's all about. That's what football's about. That's what life's about. Having to be accountable to the guy next to you. To say, you know what? Maybe I'm not feeling it today. Josh, maybe I feel a little sick or something. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give my all to the guy next to me. Because it's really important to me. Really important to me to come on this field and win games. It really bothers me that we were 3-9 last year, so I'm going to go out and practice my ass off today for my teammates because it's important. When it matters so much, Jaylen, you know what I'm saying? So much. I hate losing so much, I'm not going to mail one in there to my teammates.
And the kids have done it. Maryland wins their first ever national championship, holding up Indiana 64-52.
Be not afraid of greatness. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and others host college sports and recruiting podcasts.
You're listening to IMS Radio at InsideMarylandSports.com.
Welcome into IMS Radio. I am Glenn Clark, and joined this week for a very special spring football edition of IMS Radio by Jeff Ehrman and Ahmed Ghafir from InsideMDSports.com. Jeff, I'll start with you. This does sort of speak to the depressing nature of what it is to be a Maryland fan right now, that we're saying it's spring football season. Wow, we have something to look forward to here. Oh, I guess we lost Jeff. All right.
I'm here. I'm back.
Oh, good. Jeff, hey, hello. Then we don't have to sound like fools. Hey, yeah, I was saying that it speaks to sort of the depressing nature of Maryland sportsdom right now, that it feels like spring football is the thing that we actually have to look forward to at this moment.
Yeah, you know, not able to talk about the tournament at this early of a stage. It's been quite a while since that's been the case, but it is what it is, and there's not a lot of people out there wanting NIT previews, so we work with what we have.
Yeah, that's what we've got, no doubt about that. Ahmed Ghafir, it's good to talk to you again, pal. And I know that things kicked off officially this week. I guess let's start by taking everybody through sort of the timeline of things when it comes to Maryland and spring football.
Yeah, practice kicked off late last week or over the weekend. You know, and right now I think there's a lot of excitement, especially about the early enrollees. You know, I mean, Maryland's got a lot of key guys out, Derwin Gray, Terrence Davis, obviously the quarterback, Kasim Hill, and Tyrell Pigrome. So I think the biggest takeaways from practice are going to be how the younger guys look and potentially who's going to be able to step up and replace DJ Moore.
No doubt. It's a huge loss. There's no question about that, and that's going to be something they're going to have to look at. I guess let's start by talking about that. Unfortunately, this has sort of been a common refrain when it comes to Maryland football the last couple of years is that, yeah, spring football's come around, but the quarterbacks aren't there, and that's the real bummer. I guess take us through, and it doesn't mean there aren't any quarterbacks there. We know that there are. But take us through both what's going on in spring football without having those two quarterbacks you mentioned and what the timelines are, what's realistic that we're looking at when it comes to those two guys.
Well, obviously, I think, you know, having those two out, I think it hurts from the standpoint where Matt Canada is looking to kind of integrate and implement his offense, complete different offense than what Walt Bell runs. You know, obviously with the pro style coming in, and just different reads and a whole different blocking scheme, everything. Not having Kasim and Pigrome hurt in that aspect, but from what we're able to kind of take away from the current position, the current guys on the roster that are, you know, auditioning for Canada. Bortenschlager is a guy that, you know, I really think he can thrive. He wasn't really a fit in Walt Bell's offense, and you know, when he committed, a lot of people said he kind of gives Maryland another opportunity to switch things up. You know, if the spread offense, if the up-tempo is not working, you need to go under center, you have Borton Farger that can do that, and that's exactly the kind of offense they're running. Everything I've heard, he looks very good. I've heard Tyler Dessou has kind of slimmed down a little bit. He's been able to kind of show off his accuracy and show that, you know, he can be a pocket passer. Outside of those, Maryland also has Legend Brumbaugh, but Legend's not expected to be a guy that really works into the mix. I don't know. I have a weird feeling about Borton Farger that he's going to be able to bounce back. I know Maryland fans kind of saw a little bit of inconsistency from him the season ago. I think this is a perfect fit for him.
Okay. Yeah. I still don't think that anybody's going to be comfortable if he has to play football in the fall.
Well, I mean, the thing is, both Big Rome and Kasim Hill are going to be ready for fall camp. They're holding them out. They're not rushing anything. And it's a big reason why Maryland fans aren't going to see either of them in any sort of capacity, or there's not going to be any updates in terms of how they look in practice, because Maryland's taking this a very deliberate, slow approach to their rehab process. I've heard Kasim is a little bit ahead of schedule. Pogrom's also a little bit ahead of schedule, so that helps. I mean, at the end of the day, let's be realistic. The starting job's going to come down to those two. I don't expect Maryland to bring in another scholarship quarterback. So he kind of have to work with what they got. But Borton Farger, I mean, if he's able to continue to show off and show that he can really understand this offense and make the right reads, you know, maybe come fall camp, he can kind of push Piggy and Kasim for the starting job.
Jeff, we talked about this when we did the live show before the Minnesota basketball game, but I feel like there is still this other question that exists, and that normally the spring was what you use to try to figure this out, which is, okay, so you get both Kasim Hill back and Tyrell Pigrum back. Who's going to end up being the quarterback for this football team? And I think that's still like the biggest thing that sort of that lurks over the 2018 season.
Yes, so, I mean, it hurts in terms of Durkin being able to evaluate those guys and decide who he likes the most, but he wasn't going to choose a winner or definitely not come out and state who's the guy or even who leads for the position most likely after the spring. So we wouldn't have known no matter what, knowing how he operates. It does hurt, obviously, for them not to be able to practice when you have a new system in place and a new coordinator. But I think either way that, you know, that was going to really come down to the fall before any decisions were going to be made. So I don't think it's more of, you know, the bigger issue is that they can't start, you know, learning the new system and getting on the field and getting reps more so than the competition being settled.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly, you know, and they'll have time and that'll be, again, as you pointed out, it's a good problem to have. It's the exact having a couple quarterbacks that you believe in is such an un-Maryland thing that you want that issue, but it'll be something that they'll have to sort out later. Ahmed, let me go back to the other side of the offense. Let's stay offensive line and backfield. Let's stay there for now. Give me some of the big things that we'll be keeping our eyes on during the course of spring football.
I think an offensive line. I mean, you know what the offensive line is going to be. It's going to be Damian Prince, Derwin Gray, Terrence Davis, Brendan Moore, and Sean Christie. But I think what you're going to see this spring is really guys like Marcus Miner, Jordan McNair, Johnny Jordan, see what they can push. And I know that, you know, everyone kind of raved that Johnny Jordan would be the future All Big Ten center. Marcus Miner played sparingly last year at right tackle when Damian Prince was injured. I'm actually getting the best feedback, I guess, from Jordan McNair. One source actually earlier this week said he was NFL caliber prospect. They're really, really high on him. He's done a really good job just kind of trimming his body down, getting into, I guess, an impactful state. I think that's going to be the biggest takeaway. Tyron Hunt, he's actually in the mid-300s right now. He came into Maryland at 260. So I think you're starting to see a lot of the guys that Durkin's recruited. You're seeing them kind of beef up and – I think the biggest takeaway is going to be how close are they to really competing, and can they push some of these upperclassmen out from the starting job? I guess into the secondary, a guy we raved about on the site, Jordan Mosley. I know that he's getting looked at various positions on the field, including safety. Obviously, Maryland's bringing in Marcus Lewis. He's the Florida State defensive back transfer. I expect him to start. You have Tina Ellis. I think there's a lot of guys that can kind of rotate in.
I think the biggest takeaway is going to be how can Maryland kind of develop that lockdown cornerback. I know Marcus Lewis had some injury issues at Florida State. Maryland's kind of going to have him as their number one guy, but can he do that? And can you get to see a guy like Tino Ellis, who's, you know, he's shown flashes at times of being that lockdown corner. He has some technical issues that he knows he needs to work on, and he's working on improving it. But can he be that solid number two, or Antoine Richardson, or
right?
Someone else kind of push him aside. So, but I feel pretty good about where defensive backs stand.
Okay, I'll stay on the defensive side. I was thinking the other backfield, but that's all right. I'll stay on the defensive side.
Oh,
it's all good. No worries, Ahmed. I'll stay on the defensive side. The front seven, I know that in particular getting Jesse Onabonham back is a really big deal.
Yeah, that was huge. One source told me that recruiting Jesse and Derwin and Damian was actually the biggest recruiting battle that they've won the entire offseason, and that includes the guys that they've signed. That includes their pursuit for Noah Boykin. I mean, that it just shows that Jesse was the guy that they needed. And, you know, a big reason that he came back was he wasn't going to be the guy that faces all the double teams. Maryland has Byron Cowart opposite side of him that they're going to have to focus in on just as much as Jesse. So now Maryland went from not having anyone that can really put any pressure on the opposing backfield to now having two guys that can make an impact. And, you know, keep an eye on guys that transfer out after spring ball. I know Maryland is not going to say no to an interior defensive lineman, or
okay,
if there's a defensive end that can kind of step in, that could be a possibility. You have the Gaddy brothers. I mean, they came in, and their biggest thing was their size. They're still working on kind of trimming down that body fat and turning that fat into muscle. So that's a work in progress. I think you're starting to see all the beef across that defensive line to kind of make that impact. When Durkin came in, they wanted the bigger, just stronger defensive line. They didn't really want the undersized guys. That's why they passed on a couple local kids last cycle. I think you'll start to see that this season as well.
Jeff, for you, defensive side of the ball, biggest concerns, biggest question marks, biggest things that you're paying attention to during the spring?
Yeah, I mean, I think it seems like the defensive line, especially in the middle, always seems to be a concern in Maryland in recent years. Just they can't seem to really get stocked up there for whatever reason. Defensive end, like Ahmed said, should be better this year. It's still a concern, but as compared to last year, at least you have Andy Bonham back, so you won't have that completely impotent pass rush that they had last year. Linebacker, I think, you know, I like the defensive backfield. They got a lot of, you know, young guys who aren't quite so young anymore, or won't be quite so young anymore heading into next year. Marcus Lewis will be eligible from transfer from Florida State. You know, you lose a key guy with J.C. Jackson, but I really like what they have there at defensive back. But linebacker, there's really nobody proven. You lose Jermaine Carter, who's led the team in tackles 3 years in a row, and it wasn't like it was a stocked position last year either. So there's really nobody, you know, I think Bryce Brand has a lot of promise there, and they have some other talented kids. But, you know, a linebacker would be a big concern along with, you know, defensive tackle. But again, like I was saying, they've kind of stockpiled defensive tackles the past few years. You know, kids were either fairly highly rated or at least big and athletic. And now all those guys are growing into second and third year players. You know, these guys like Adam McClain and the Gaddies and Kieran Howard and Cam Spence now as a freshman.
Right.
So, you know, we don't know how good any of them are going to be. So there's no telling, but there's a good chance at least two of them will be players as opposed to just not having much at all the past few years in the middle.
But at linebacker, that's what makes the transfer addition of Trey Watson, the linebacker from Illinois, that's what makes him a lot, I guess, more meaningful and more impactful, because he's a guy that he's played in the Big Ten. He can provide that leadership, and he can provide some depth inside. And I mean, I think Nick Underwood's a guy that Maryland's also been really high on. They really believe that he can help, especially in pass coverage. I mean, he's a very, very athletic guy for his size and his closing ability, his ability to make the tackle in the open field. I don't know. I mean, those are two guys that they're a little bit older, and their IQ is a little bit higher than maybe some of the younger guys, I look for them to have big springs and hopefully turn into big balls.
If there was a guy, you know, we've mentioned some of these names, but if there was a guy, both of you, that on the defensive side of the ball that you think is ready to step up and that between this spring and going into the fall, you know, you would maybe you'd place your bets on as a guy who's ready to step up and be a higher level caliber player, who would that guy be?
I'd say that's, I mean, I kind of want to say Antoine Brooks just because I'm that high on him. I'm going to go with Marcus Lewis because I think he's a guy that just kind of, he struggled staying healthy at Florida State. And he's going to have very big shoes to fill with J.C. Jackson out out in the NFL. Maryland needs that number one guy. They don't really have anyone else with that much game day experience. I think that's going to be the biggest issue. Can they establish that number one guy? I'm pointing to Marcus Lewis as probably the most important player on the defensive line. I'm sorry, in the defensive backfield.
Sure. Jeff?
Yeah. Ahmed was right. The first choice is obvious, Antoine Brooks. You know, he's not exactly under the radar, but he's, you know, Maryland gets good players, but they don't get that many freaks. You know, that's the Vernon Davis kind of guys and Sean Merriman and those kind of big, super fast. And he's not on those guys' level, but he's the kind of guy they don't have a lot on defense. So, you know, I think he could be an all Big Ten caliber player next year. He's got everything you need. He's got the star power that they really have lacked on the defensive side for the most part. You know, I think defensive backfield, I'd probably go elsewhere. Maybe Tino Ellis, I think, could have a breakout year. He's a guy who's had a lot of promise the past few years and will be one of their top guys, especially with J.C. Jackson gone. And then also, like I mentioned, Bryce Brand at linebacker, I think, will be a guy that will become one of their cornerstones this year after coming in and playing a little bit as a freshman.
All right.
Well, I there is one thing I want to add because I know we're going to get ripped for it because you didn't mention Byron Cowart because he's the guy that was the five-star transfer from Auburn. And the reason I didn't pick him is because I know he's kind of struggled, and it's never been an issue with on the field. It's all been a mental thing. I just want to see how he's able to kind of adapt. How his body looks, how he's able to, does he maintain that explosiveness? Because his first step and his sheer size is, I mean, he was a complete mismatch in high school. He was very technically advanced. But I'm not sure that right now he's able to be that guy to make the immediate impact. I'm not saying that he's not going to be able to this fall, but it's going to be a transition. It's going to be a learning period. It's kind of a different defense than what he's accustomed to. Just some questions. And I just kind of want to see how he can integrate himself with Jesse on the opposite side of him. He has high expectations.
Right.
He came in and Maryland fans said, oh yeah, the former five-star. Yeah. I mean, that's a guy that he's going to be the guy for us. I'm not sold just yet. I think he can be, but I'm kind of in wait and see mode right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anytime you're that highly rated coming out of high school and you bounce around and don't produce the first few years, it's not as often when the guy ends up panning out. I mean, even if he's a quality Big Ten starter, you'd be happy with that. You're not expecting him to become the former number one overall recruit, but like the odds are always going to be against you at that point.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reality. And I think there's, you like to hope that there's something they can get there, right? Like you'd like to hope. If you're looking for a reason to be hopeful. But I think the realities that you guys are talking about are significant when it comes to Byron Cowart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I really just think that Maryland really went – I mean, they when they lost Jesse last year, you really just saw that they had no one. If Jesse and Byron can stay healthy, yeah. I mean, you really significantly upgraded the position. And that's going to help the defensive backs a lot because I thought J.C. Jackson – he got a lot of heat last year because, you know, he struggled at times. He let defenders get inside too easily. But if you're able to put a lot more pressure, it changes your ability to make different reads. And you can be a little bit more blitz heavy in some situations. I just have some question marks. But on the surface, yeah, Maryland has the guys right now on paper.
Yeah, I like the sounds of that. You know what I mean? Like, it all sounds good. Now, obviously, it has to translate to a football field.
Yep, exactly.
All right, let's jump over to the offensive side. We talked about the quarterbacks, obviously. Let's go to offensive line and backfield. Ahmed, what do we need to know?
I'll start with the backfield. I mean, this is top two, top three backfield in the Big Ten. I don't care what anyone else says. I mean, you have Ty Johnson, Lorenzo Harrison, Javon Leak, who I'm incredibly high on. Teyon Fleet Davis, who's a big body, runs north-south, and can really just plow through his opponents. And then you have Anthony McFarland, a guy who was coming off an ACL injury senior year. He's healthy. He's ready to go. Canada's talked about two, possibly three running backs in some sets. McFarland's going to be a guy that he's going to come out of the backfield. I think he's going to be a guy that it's going to be a little bit more obvious that it might be a passing down.
Yeah.
Just because when he's on the field, he's best in the open space. He's going to be in the flat, something like that. I mean, you know, when he was at DeMatha, when he was on the field, he wasn't going to run in between the tackles. And when he did, he struggled. But when they wanted to pound it, they went with Lorenzo Harrison. So you just have so many guys that they complement each other and they kind of bring a different piece of their game and they bring it all together. There's many different strengths that each of them bring. And Lorenzo Harrison and Ty Johnson are going to lead the way. Ty Johnson, he talked about how it was kind of tough to come back to Maryland and thought about, you know, potentially going to the NFL one more year under Canada. And I think a quarterback under center, a lot more eye formations, gives the running back a little bit more time, a little bit more blocking to kind of plow their way through. I really think they're going to be able to take off. And then across the offensive line, I think it should be a strength yet again. I mean, last year, Derwin Gray started out very hot. He went from not a starter in the 2016 season to full-time and potentially the best offensive lineman. And then once Big Ten play started, he kind of plateaued, and you didn't really see that same dominance. So expectations are still high. Right now, I mean, again, Terrence Davis and Derwin Gray are out for the spring, so you're not going to be able to see those guys. I'll just say the guy to watch is going to be Jordan McNair, because I think that he could be a guy that could step in to left guard or maybe if needed be, he can step in at right tackle or left tackle. But I think he's a better suited interior lineman. It's just going to be a lot more about the younger guys and seeing how they kind of develop.
Agreed on all of that. I think with the backfield in particular, and Jeff, I'll bring you in with this. It almost becomes like a basketball thing. Like, are there enough balls to go around? Like, I just feel like there's so much that you want out of this backfield right now that, like, I don't know. It's a good problem to have, but I don't know that you can get all of it because, you know, you can only run the ball so many times.
Yeah, they need to trade one of those guys for a receiver.
Right.
Clearly. It is. It's more talent. I mean, so back in those early years under Friedgen, they had some pretty good backfields with Bruce Perry and Josh Allen and Chris Downs and these other guys. But this is, you know, those guys were guys who developed into really good players. These are higher rated recruits and guys who developed into better players combined. And like Ahmed said, Javon Leak, he might end up being the most talented guy out of all. And he's your third or fourth, depending on what you do. You know, we didn't even talk about Jake Funk, who has way over,
right.
over, exceeded my expectations. Just he's your Swiss Army knife that is so valuable to have in college football. You can pretty much do a little bit of everything. And so, you know, I think McFarland, you got to think about switching him to receiver for a year, maybe just to get the most out of what you have. And, you know, he will, like Ahmed said, be catching a lot of passes out of the backfield, but he might just have to switch to the slot. But then, of course, that begs the question, if you move him to the slot, where's Tavon Jacobs? Is he a slot receiver? Because he's obviously tiny at this point. So, it's almost too much talent there to have. But I know the Canada said, Josh actually had an article from his first meeting with the media this week in camp, and he said that he plans on using a lot of two running back backfields. So that's something that he said. He'll even use three at times, which we'll see. It's, you know, a lot of times coaches say these things that never happen. But, you know, he said he's going to use two or three, which makes sense. You might as well take advantage of your biggest strength.
If you can line them up in other ways, right? Like if anything you can do with them. And I think Jake in particular, I would be interesting to see how much more he could offer maybe as a pass catcher. moving forward, if that's a way that you can get. There's so much there that you like that you want to see everything that you can do in order to use it. But that does indeed bring us to wide receivers. And Ahmed, you mentioned the need to replace DJ Moore, and that's the biggest thing that jumps out at you. And that is not an easy thing to do because you're talking about an otherworldly type of talent.
Yeah, DJ Moore, he really was the go-to guy. I know a lot of people are kind of pointing to Tavon Jacobs. He's just a too different of a receiver, and he's just better suited for inside. And I'm not saying that he's not, he's average outside. And I think putting him outside takes away from his strength to kind of carve up the defense across the middle or going straight down the throat of the defense, down the field. I think Davenport, when I saw him last year, he started to play more and more. I thought he was aggressive. I thought he caught the ball well. He was a hard runner. I think DJ Turner could be another guy. I know Deshaun Jones Maryland is very, very impressed with him. He's impressed, and he has great size, great body control. And that's what you're really missing from DJ, is the guy that he could just really go up and get it, and he had fantastic body control. I just think it's a lot of guys that on paper or coming out of high school, they had it. They had the potential. You just have a lot of unknowns right now. So I'm also curious to see how Taj Capehart will do. And then you have the guys from the 2017 class, like Jaden Kama, Sean Nelson, Carlos Carrier. Carrier is a guy 6'5". I can't remember weight-wise right now, but, I don't remember Maryland having a 6'5 wide receiver. So you just have a lot of guys that, who can put it together first, really.
Do you have a bet for that?
Do I have a bet? I want to go Deshaun Jones. I've really heard just so many good things about him. I would not be surprised if he's starting on the outside day one.
What about you, Jeff? Who's the guy that you're most intrigued by of this group?
I like Davenport. Like, I've kind of been on that bandwagon, Jarvis Davenport, since I first watched his video before they signed him. I think I've been the most loudest bandwagon guy for a unheralded player that barely ever played of anybody ever. But he's, like Ahmed said, he is a tough runner. He's aggressive. When he gets in, he's made plays. But for some reason during the course of his career, he's just never really gotten in. Some of that, obviously, he had DJ Moore before that. You had Laverne Jacobs. But I like him as a sleeper. I think he's a guy who can make plays and move into the starting lineup. So the rest, it's really hard to say. They're all really young. So, out of all those guys, Carrier, he's intriguing. His video was really good, too, especially as a 6'5 guy. But it's really hard to say. Even Tavon Jacobs, you have somebody who's capable, but how much of that last year was from having DJ Moore on the other side? He's really fast. You hope that, that little spurt he had last year continues into bigger things this year. You're going to need to see it to believe it, I think.
And, a guy like Jacobs is going to see a lot more focus on defenses. I wouldn't be surprised if you have an outside receiver or outside cornerback on him and you have the safety protecting over the top. Now, Jacobs has the speed to go over the top. So if you take that away, who's going to be able to step up? And, as Jeff said, Davenport's a guy that I agree with Jeff. I think he can be that guy. DJ Turner, he proved it in high school that he was he was strong, he was quick, and he was really nimble, and he did a really good job of making defenders miss. It's just going to be who's going to be that young guy, that next young stud to kind of step up. Because when DJ Moore came into Maryland, no one expected him to even start freshman year and now look. So who's going to be the next guy to follow his footsteps?
I want to talk a little bit more about Rashad Lewis for a second. Obviously, it's, the name value is there, but there's talk about perhaps using him on both sides of the field, which seems aggressive for somebody whose only play has come at the Mountain West so far in his career. What do you make of Rashad Lewis and how people handle their expectations knowing they're going to get carried away with him just because of what his name is?
I'll start out. He's not going to play both sides. We'll be real. I know Durkin said it. It's it's not very feasible. But I've actually heard, and I can't believe I forgot him when we were talking about wide receivers, because I've heard that in the slot, he's doing a really good job. He's actually a lot quicker than the many expected within the program. He's a good catcher, but again, I think it's just a little bit early. He's kind of like an unproven guy. Like you said, he played in the Mountain West. The competition's not Big Ten level. Can he put it together? I think he has the tools. I know Maryland was not going to just take a flyer on just anyone, and he certainly was not coming to Maryland because he was Ray Lewis's son. Maryland liked him because of his ability to kind of gain that separation in the slot. He actually has that second gear where he can kind of break away from his defenders. He's a good route runner. But again, can he put it together on this level? To be determined.
Jeff,
and Durkin was raving about him the other day, at least by Durkin's standards. Yeah. He was raving, you know, saying that, praising his competitiveness and toughness and things like that. So, you know, which is no surprise given who his father is. But so it sounds like he's been impressed with him. He said had similar kind of comments about Antoine Brooks early last year, you know, so maybe they're onto something with him.
Yeah, obviously, that's worked out pretty well. All right, anything else personnel-wise that we haven't discussed or that warrants further conversation, Ahmed?
Well, let's not pull a Walt Bell and forget all about the tight ends.
Oh, sure. Yeah, right. Of course. Sorry. My apologies.
No, I'm just messing with you. I'm just going to reiterate. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Maryland's going to use the tight ends. It's really just a monumental head scratcher that they didn't use a guy like Avery Edwards. Chigozie Okonkwo is, I mean, he's probably going to be the best receiving tight end Maryland's had in a couple of years. I really like him. He came in as an early enrollee. He's going to learn the offense. I don't know if he's going to start, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see some snaps this fall. Maryland's going to remember that there's, you know, that 11th guy on the field this season. Just wanted to reiterate that.
All right. Even when Walt Bell and I are completely forgetting that they exist.
Yeah, well, 2 years, it's been a while.
Yeah, no question. it's been forgotten. All right, now is that it? Is that it from a personnel capacity? Is there anything else that we need to discuss?
Let's see how they look.
Yeah, right? Let's see how they look. Remind everybody, the spring game is when?
Was it April 17th?
No, oh,
I think it's mid-April. Well, I guess we'll comment on the site what day it is.
Right, and we'll obviously after that have more of an opportunity to talk about where these guys are then at the end of spring camp. Jeff, from a Maryland perspective, I know that there are some goodies on the site this week, information-wise. I'm sure we're not going to want to talk too much about that because we want people to go there and read about it. But anything else that we need to discuss Maryland-wise?
Well, first off, the spring game is April 14th.
Thank you.
I mean, this is the time of year. You know, I wrote a couple articles. Like you said, there's a lot of premium information in there, but you know, this is a time of year when guys start to make decisions on transferring and NBA and things like that. So, you know, without giving it all away, there's definitely some movement there. It's still a while before it's going to become clear exactly who's coming back. Obviously, you'll wait till after the NIT, and then, you know, things will start to shake down. There's no new big recruiting names. They were out this week looking at players. They're still evaluating their options for 2018. The only new offer was a kid named Ashton Hagans, point guard,
right,
in 2019, who's thinking about reclassifying 2018. Either way, he's the number one point guard in the country, and they're not very likely to get him. Otherwise, they offered Justin Lewis, 2020 forward from Baltimore. 2020 is a long way away, obviously, but Turgeon was out there watching him tonight at the state semifinals. You know, otherwise, right now, it's kind of the calm before the storm. But like you said, there is a lot of kind of behind the scenes stuff that's now beginning to develop, and we've been reporting that on the site.
Yep. Check it all out, insidemdsports.com. All right, boys. Well, who knows? I guess the next one as news warrants. I guess that's a fair thing to say at this point.
Yeah, I think we'll roll with that. I mean, it's going to, you know, this, again, like right about now or right after the Final Four is when it gets hot and heavy all the time with players popping up out of nowhere and transfers and all that. So we should have some good shows lined up once things start popping off.
All right, very good. All right, make sure you're following everybody on Twitter. Ahmed, where are you on Twitter?
I am A. Gaffier at A. Gaffier 24/7.
That's what I thought. All right, yeah. A. Gaffier
24/7. He's at Mia Khalifa's page.
That's where you can find
him. Where is he at? Like his name. Never mind. Sorry.
Jeff at Jeff_Ehrman. I'm at Glenn Clark Radio. For Matt and for Jeff, I'm Glenn. This has been IMS Radio. We'll talk to you next time. All right, guys.
Good stuff. Thank you, guys.
Yep, thank you.